We're going to start in a part of Seattle where there's been some tension lately. In the Magnolia and Inner Bay neighborhoods, some say things have taken a turn for the worse. An increase in homeless people living in RVs, more property crime, and blight. A group of residents has even hired a private security force to patrol the neighborhood. And so that, in turn, has brought accusations of elitism and intolerance toward poverty, and the epithet NIMBY, not in my backyard. It's a term Harley Lever does not care for. He's a big, good-natured guy, originally from Boston, which will be very obvious. Now, a little later in the show, we're going to get the perspective of a homeless person in Magnolia, but first we get a little tour of Harley's neighborhood, heading down Thorndike Road toward the Ballard Locks.
Really, from right here, you would find needles. And I'm not talking one needle or two needles. I'm talking you'd see 10 here. You know, it wasn't uncommon to come across 100 needles walking from here to the Ballard Locks.
Really? That's going to sound like an exaggeration to some people.
Yeah, I'm sure it does, but it's the absolute truth. I mean, we have video of it. We have photographs of it. But actually, here we go. Here's a needle plunger right here.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's a plunger to a needle. So this is exactly what we see all the time. That RV that had caught fire had 150 needles just in the trash. I mean, there was just needles everywhere.
Maybe you could just describe what encountering that RV, like, just tell me the story, walk me through it.
Sure. So I was driving down here one day, and all of a sudden we see this burned out shell of an RV. All the contents inside had been ripped out, and it was just a horrifying sight. I came up and looked at it more closely and just noticed these flasks that had residue in it. And, you know, to me, I'm like, okay, this is clearly a crystal meth lab. At that point, I said, you know, enough's enough. For the last 2 years, we've been calling Mayor Murray. We had no response. So out of frustration, I took a video of the RV, and it just went viral. It turns out that other neighbors around Ballard and Magnolia had been calling constantly and had the same lack of response from the city government. So we all got together, and then we end up forming the Neighborhood Safety Alliance. There was a lot of legitimately homeless people living in the RVs, but there was a lot of criminals hiding among them. Unfortunately, though, a lot of the problematic ones have now moved to the Green Lake area. While it's changed for us here in Inter Bay, I think, unfortunately, for some neighbors in Seattle, it's just that the crime's kind of moved over there. I'm not fooling myself. I know that the situations haven't really changed much.
So what do you think people in other parts of town who haven't experienced this but who just know, hey, it's Magnolia, hey, it's Inner Bay, hey, it's Queen Anne, what do you think they don't understand or misunderstand about what's going on here?
People in have said, oh, Magnolia, they're a bunch of rich folks, and they call us NIMBYs, not in my backyard. But I would remind them that, one, this is Inter Bay. It's a blue-collar neighborhood. And, you know, I don't want this in anyone's neighborhood.
So the comments have gotten pretty heated in some quarters, and there have been a few occasions where there have been actual confrontations, you know, with people who seem like they're legitimately homeless. Do you feel like things have gotten a little out of hand?
I do. You know, I see a big divide here in the city. You have one group that looks at the homeless people as all criminals, and then you have the other group that says all homeless people are innocent. You know, so when you have such a polar divide, it's really hard to look at it in the middle. And what I always promote is I think we all need to come together and really just get down to what's going to work and what's not going to work.
When people make an assumption about you that you don't care about the well-being of addicted people or poor people or homeless people, do you take that personally at all?
No, I don't take it personally. I just think we just have not had the opportunity to talk. I've got a addicted brother who's basically overdosed 4 times in the last year.
He's addicted to what?
He's addicted to heroin, but he's a multi-user. He's a former vet. He was in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. He went into the Army addicted, and he came out with a PTSD, started using again. And so that's why I have such an urgency to try to mitigate what's going on with our heroin issues here in Seattle.
Are you close with your brother?
I was at one point. He's been in and out of VA hospitals, and he's been homeless, so I haven't seen him in probably 3 or 4 years.
What's it been like to watch him deteriorate like that?
You know, it's absolutely heartbreaking. You have a kid who was happy-go-lucky all of his life, ultra smart. He was the kid you knew was going to be like the genius of the family. And then high school hit and everyone started experimenting with OxyContin. And from that point on, it's been an absolute nightmare. He stole $5,000 from my mom on Christmas. He can't help himself, you know? And this is not who Dave is.
So having that as part of your family history, are you thinking about that when you see people here in your own neighborhood who are struggling? To what extent is that kind of in your mind and your mentality when you're dealing with the side of it that's dangerous, the side of it that's ugly, the side of it that's sort of encroaching on your own neighborhood?
Yeah, well, it's my very first thought when I see, you know, I think of my brother and, like, you know, this is Dave up here and he's having issues. But in the same breath, you know, we as our family, we can't let Dave live with us. We can't lend him any money. You know, heroin's one of those deals where it'll flip your sense of love on its head, because the things you naturally think that you can do to help a person hurt heroin addicts. And so we can't even give him presents anymore, because he'll sell his presents for heroin. And it's a game of Russian roulette. So you know that the next dollar, you know, 10 bucks you give him could be the one that causes him to overdose. And so when I see these people struggling, I know that they're stealing because they have to fight off addiction. I'm humbled because I know exactly what they're going through. So you have to be compassionate first and foremost.
That's a really powerful insight. How, first of all, crazy that must make you when your impulse is just to do something kind and you know that that is turned around and that's, like, not what you should be doing. I mean, do you feel like that's at work on a bigger scale in this city?
I mean, honestly, I think I see Seattle as an enabler right now. I think that's what the biggest problem is there are no hard consequences for heroin addicts here. Our family prayed so many times that our brother would get arrested just to have him stop using. You know, jail was the safest place for him. And I know there's a lot of parents out there that feel the same exact way. It's like, you know, please arrest my kid. Please get him some help. And right now, you know, that's not happening here.
As you and your neighbors wrestle with these issues, what's one thing you would want the city and the region at large to understand better about this place and the people like you who are trying to make changes?
Let's stop taking the cheap shots at one another. Let's stop with the frustrations. Let's come up with some solutions and work together, because there are people literally dying on the streets. I think we need just a top-to-bottom restructuring of our homeless service response system, as well as the addiction response. But let's come together first and foremost.
Well, Harley Lever, thank you for showing me around your neighborhood.
Yeah, Gabriel, thank you for having me. I really appreciated talking with you, and hope our paths cross again.